May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 642. Once more, dear God of grace, thy earthly courts we tread. We come to see thy face and banquet with our head. We long, we faint, we pant for thee, and hope that with us thou wilt be. Hymn 642.
Read from the Word of God, from the Paul's Epistle to the Hebrews, reading from chapter 10. And we will read down to verse 31. Paul's Epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 10, and reading down to verse 31. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, not the very image of the things, can never, with those sacrifices which they offered year by year, continually, make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers, once purged, should have had no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, Sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, Lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. Above, when he said, Sacrifice and offering, and burnt offerings and offering for sin thou wouldest not, neither hadst pleasure therein, which are offered by the law, then said he, Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second, by the which will we are sanctified, through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every high priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected for ever them that are sanctified, whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that he had said before, This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord, I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. For if we sin wilfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sorer punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy, who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. For we know him that hath said, Vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. May the Lord bless that portion of his word of truth to us. Teach us how to pray and what to pray for. O Lord, our God and the God of thy people, the God indeed who hath shown to them an everlasting love, and that love shown clearly and so gloriously in the person of thy dearly beloved Son, and in particular, Lord, in the work that he came to do, to put away the sins and the iniquities of his people. O Lord, we come before thee and plead thy name again, that thou wilt be pleased to draw near unto this gathering, pleased to show thyself in the midst according to thy promise, thy presence with us, Lord. We pray, Lord, for the anointing of thy Spirit to come upon us, and that we may each be drawn effectually and purposely toward thee in that true worship of thy great and thy holy name. O Lord, be pleased to prepare each of our hearts to approach unto thee. We are conscious, Lord, that our poor hearts and minds soon become gathered to all manner of thing, carking cares, the concerns, Lord, of this life, many things that come in to hinder and distract. O Lord, be pleased through thy Spirit and power to reveal and manifest thyself alone unto each one of us, and to be that one thing needful to us each at this time, that we might each be blessed, Lord, to call upon thy name and to seek thy face and to be true worshippers at thy feet. O Lord, we do pray that our time and our season together this day shall not be a burden to our souls, but that thou wilt be pleased, Lord, to reveal and manifest thyself to each one of us, Lord. Give to us, we pray thee, Lord, a living desire toward thee, and, Lord, that we may each indeed know what it is to seek a living portion of thy word for our poor souls, and as we have sung together in our first hymn, to come and to feast at thy feet, Lord, to partake of thee in all thy glorious offices and characters in the gospel, and which, Lord, thou dost meet the case and the needs of each of thy people, and pour forth thy word, thy truth and promises to each one of us. O Lord, grace was poured into thy lips. Be pleased that that grace be poured out again into our poor hearts, to bring us near to thee, that we may partake of thee in the gospel, thy word and promises, Lord, and that our souls might live, have life, have it more abundantly in Jesus, and that it may prove to be to us each, Lord, the eldest to the youngest, a time of refreshing, and a time, Lord, of renewing, in the presence of the Lord. Oh, we seek thy gracious help to come to each one of us, Lord. Oh, we wait upon thee, Lord, that thou wilt be pleased to come and to work in us, to will and to do of thy good pleasure. to turn us, Lord, unto thee, and we shall be turned, we pray thee, and undertake the cause and the interest of each one of us that have gathered at this time, we pray thee. Look down upon us each, in thy love and favour, and in thy blessing, and be pleased to come to each one of us, Lord. Whatever our needs are, Lord, thou hast heard our prayers and petitions as we come to thy feet. Oh, be pleased to be prayer hearing and prayer answering, we pray. And we thank thee, Lord, for thy faithfulness in answering the prayers and the petitions of thy people. Oh, Lord, we seek grace to wait upon thee more and more, and to live by faith upon thee, and to serve thee all our days. And be pleased to be with each one of us in our particular way and path that thou hast ordained for us. O Lord, we do not know the path of each of thy people here, Lord, and the path of those that are seekers. But, O Lord, we do pray that thou wilt be pleased to uphold, be pleased to keep, be pleased to maintain the cause and the interest of each one here gathered together, we pray thee. And be pleased, Lord, to lead us forth day by day in thy name. Keep us close unto thee, Lord, and deliver us from all enemies, world, flesh, and devil, and chiefly from our own selves, from our own wicked and deceitful hearts, by nature. Thou knowest, Lord, the burdens that we bring before thee, the troubles that, Lord, we experience inwardly and spiritually, and that, Lord, sin and the very root of it, even Satan, how oft he comes in, Lord, like a flood. O Lord, we do pray, that thou wilt be pleased to come in thy almighty power, and deliver and save us from the same. And be pleased, Lord, that where sin abounds, that thy grace might much more abound, we pray thee. Be pleased, Lord, to go before us each in the way, to lead us forth through this barren wilderness, to be our only stay, our only need. Help us, Lord, in the times of our troubles and the time of affliction, the time of a sickness, Lord, to appear, Lord, to thy throne of grace, and to wait upon thee, and to lean upon the rock, Christ Jesus. O Lord, we have no one else to turn to, no one else, Lord, that we can rest in and upon, our poor souls, but only, Lord, in thyself, and who hath promised, Lord, that thou wilt be pleased to appear for thy people, and thou wilt visit them in thy salvation. And, Lord, there is with thee, Lord, the blessing and the certainty that thou wilt never leave nor forsake thy people. Thou wilt not break the bruised reed, nor quench the smoking flax. Thou wilt be pleased, Lord, to come to the poor and the needy. And, Lord, that thou wilt, Lord, in thy rich mercy, gather them up, Lord, and to thyself, and that they might wait more upon thee for deliverance and for salvation. O Lord, help each one of us in the time of all our needs and concerns to venture our all upon thee. We thank thee, Lord, for all mercies that thou hast shown to us since last we met together in thy name. Thou hast watched over us and presided over all our affairs and our concerns as we journey forth. Thou hast been pleased to put a wall of fire round about us, the glory in the midst. Thou hast been pleased, Lord, to be a shield to be a protector, to defend. And Lord, we thank thee for the same. And thou hast been pleased to provide and supply all our needs. We thank thee, Lord, for all that thou hast done and wrought for us. We do pray, Lord, that we may help to return unto thee the praise and the glory which is thy due. For thou hast done great things for us. And also, Lord, thou hast been that one that has shown to us, Lord, that thou art our all and in all. Oh, we thank thee, Lord, that we can consider and reflect from time to time our mercies day by day. And we cannot live upon past mercies, but we can thank thee, Lord, that thy mercy endureth forever, and that thou dost appear to thy people, renew them, and that thou dost again come to our case and need day by day, helping us to wait upon thee, and particularly, Lord, at the throne of grace. Be pleased, Lord, to draw near to us now, we pray. Thou hast brought us to this moment of time. Our days are with thee, Lord, and each and every moment is in thy hands concerning us. We do pray, Lord, that as the gospel is preached and proclaimed this day, that thou wilt come and appear and comfort Zion, thy poor people that gather together, those that truly are brought to see much of their foolishness and folly in their hearts and in their lives. Those, Lord, that often come to the throne of grace to tell thee, Lord, all those things that trouble and burden their souls. O Lord, we thank thee that thou art mindful of us still, and that we confess, Lord, day by day, our many sins and iniquities. But we thank thee that thou art prayer hearing and prayer answering, and that thou art faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Pleased, Lord, as the gospel is preached and proclaimed this day, thou knowest how that we bear before thee, Lord, sinners, and Lord, that it may be a day that thou wilt be pleased to open blind eyes, unstop deaf ears, awaken souls, Lord, to their great need in respect of their salvation. O Lord, we do pray, if thou wilt be pleased to charge their sins upon their consciences, then, Lord, what mercy is found. Thou hast been pleased to provide the wonderful mercy and blessing, the one to bear away those sins. And we pray that this day, Lord, that there may be many, Lord, that shall be brought to see and to feel their need of a Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, and plead his precious blood that doth for sin atone. Oh, we pray and ask for it, Lord, in respect of our families, our children, our children's children. Be pleased, Lord, to hear us in our prayers and petitions, the stranger without. O Lord, we do pray that as the gospel is preached and proclaimed this day, another day of grace, Lord, another day of mercy, that there may be those, Lord, that shall be brought, Lord, pleading for that mercy through thy blood. We pray thee to atone for all their sins. O Lord, we commit these things into thine ever merciful hands, those that are near and dear to us, that thou wilt be pleased, Lord, to turn them, and they shall be turned. O Lord, we do pray with all of thy sent servants this day. Give them journeying mercies, Lord, to the particular means of grace. Help them to stand forth upon the walls of Zion, to preach thine everlasting gospel. Be pleased, Lord, to use them instrumentally in thy hand, that thy word may be preached and proclaimed to the comfort of thy people, that it may be a word, Lord, that may correct and chasten. It may be a word, Lord, to raise up the beggar from the dust and the poor from the dunghill, and amongst the princes of thy people. O Lord, we do pray, come, in the riches of thy grace, and to every one of thy people we pray thee this day. And so, Lord, we ask these mercies. Be pleased to draw near to thy servant. Help him, Lord, to speak in thy name thy word of truth. And we do pray, Lord, that thy word through him may be a word in season to each one of us here. Let thy servant decrease, let Christ increase. Nay, O Lord, let none but Jesus be seen through the pulpit. And so we ask these mercies in and through that all-worthy precious name, our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Hymn 563. Come thou now, exalted Saviour, bless us with a solemn frame. Teach us now, henceforth, forever, to adore thy precious name. Lovely Jesus, never let us stray again. Hymn 563.
Thank you.
seeking the help of the Lord, the Holy Spirit, we would seek to draw your attention to Paul's epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 10, reading from verse 22 and 23. Let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. It is my desire to speak from these words this day, and will speak, if the Lord will help me, from verse 22 by way of a text. But last Lord's Day, it is expedient for you that I go away. Just helped and enabled to say a few thoughts in respect of that word, expedient for you that I go away. And my mind has been turned during the week to see one of the most wondrous truths of the Lord Jesus is going away, that is to suffer, bleed and die, that there is another wonderful truth here, that the church can live by him at the throne of grace, so that we shall never want for anything. And if the Lord will help me to speak a few thoughts of this wondrous truth, it is spoken of leading up to the words of our text in respect of the Lord Jesus Christ, who came to fulfill all the offerings and the sacrifices of the Old Testament dispensation. And the Lord Jesus Christ was one here set forth by Paul, and particularly to inform again the Hebrew Christians that it was they who were blessed and with the token and the blessing and the confirmation in their souls that Jesus came not only to fulfill all types and shadows, offerings and sacrifices for them and on their behalf, but it is by and through him that they were brought into a new and a living way. It is expedient for you that I go away. And Jesus, with one perfect offering, he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. And this is the wondrous truth, but this man, and yes, a real man, we've just been singing together of this real man, the Lord Jesus. And I just noticed in the third verse, into thy heart breaking sorrows, may our souls be sweetly led. May we gaze upon the furrows that within thy back were made, and believing fellowship with Jesus have. It was through his stripes that we were healed, the furrows, and it was for the sins and the iniquities of his people. And the Lord Jesus Christ, this man, this real man, in our nature accepts sin, for it was in this nature that there must be that suffering for sin. And Jesus, in the perfection of his nature, came and gave himself a pure and holy, perfect sacrifice for the sins and the iniquities of his people, but always remembering that he was a real man. The wounds and the bruises, the stripes, the nails, the crown of thorns, the pain, the suffering, a real man. In the room and place of his people, so that we should never have to suffer. And that deserved hell for our sins and iniquities, Jesus passed through the likeness of that hell in his sufferings and death for his dear people. But this man, and it was a wonderful, wonderful offering. After he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. Oh, his heavenly Father was well pleased with his dearly beloved Son. His offering and his sacrifice was a sweet smell of an odour before God the Father. For he saw his seed after him. He saw the church. He saw all those whom he loved, saved, redeemed, and gathered to him, reconciled. And this is the wonderful truth that we have here. And such was his sacrifice, that it covered all our sins and iniquities, and the whole church. And in such a way that it pleased the Father, that he quoted in Jeremiah chapter 31. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Such was this pure and this holy sacrifice of Jesus, laying down his life, submitting to the will of his heavenly Father, bearing in his body the sins and the iniquities of his church and people, in a way that demonstrates the purest love that he could ever show to a poor sinner. And I love to speak of the Lord Jesus in his sufferings and death, in the love, the greatest love that could ever be shown to a sinner, in a dying Christ upon the cross at Calvary. Because it was a place, Calvary was a place of love. We will never experience in our poor souls any greater love than this. We cannot come into the depth of the love that Jesus showed to us, but it is a love, in some measure of it, which will be reciprocated. And it is his dying love to sinners. But there, our sins and iniquities shall never ever be remembered anymore, forever. Such was the sacrifice, blotted out forever the sins and the iniquities of the church and people of God. And by and through this wonderful truth, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and the living way, it is expedient for you that I go away. And it is just a desire for a few moments this morning to speak of this wondrous place, dear friends, to venture to the throne of grace, to know what it is by faith to live upon him. Let us draw near. To whom, dear friends? Let us draw near. It's to Jesus. He is our only plea. for everything we need here below is our plea. Did you plead this precious name in the pews of his house, that he would appear, that he would come to thy case and to thy need, that he would come and speak a word in season to thy soul, to thy need, thy concerns? Did you plead this precious name? The Father loves to hear this precious name of his dearly beloved Son. I just think of two hymns, perhaps. Wherewith shall we approach the Lord and bow before his throne? By trusting in his faithful word and pleading Christ alone. And then, this is the name the Father loves, to hear his children plead, and all such pleadings he approves and blesses them indeed. I just think of another hymn, if I can just. How sweet to wait upon the Lord while he fulfills his gracious word, to seek his face and not in vain, to be beloved and loved again. To see while prostrate at his feet Jehovah on the mercy seat. Oh, poor sinner, dear friends, approach Jehovah upon the mercy seat. It's through Jesus, dear friends, and Jesus at the Lord's right hand with his divine atonement stand. Father, he cries, I will that these before thee on their bended knees, for whom my life I once laid down, be with me soon on this my throne. Let us draw near. Dear friends, let us draw near in respect of our needs at this time. But it may be in the hearts of some that they have not known this wonderful truth of his atoning sacrifice on the part of their soul. So how can I plead it? How can I plead this precious Christ? He that hath begun a good work in you, dear friends, has that good work brought you to the pews of his house? Has it brought you before him this morning, that good work begun? Dear friends, have you come with a desire, with a prayer, with a concern, with a need? Want to seek him? It's this precious name alone to plead. I just think of a word, dear friends, to encourage. How can a sinner approach a holy and a righteous God? I'm just thinking of Cornelius. He was yet in the time of his unregeneracy. But he says there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man, and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people, and prayed to God always. How was his prayers heard and received? For it says of him, by the angel that appeared to him, and he said unto him, thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. Is our prayers, dear friends, in and through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ? Is it he, dear friends, that we ask to plead our cause and our interest here below? Is it his one name, thy only plea, dear friends? You see, it is Jesus. Oh, the prayers of the poor saints. They're accepted and received by Jehovah God, God the Father, through Jesus. And if we have, dear friends, a desire, a concern and a need in our poor souls, then we're not exempt from the throne of grace. Dear friends, when the Lord met with me, it was only a very short time, dear friends. Yes, he laid me low. And in a few weeks, dear friends, I was nothing but crying and crying and crying and praying, dear friends. But it was that own worthy name of Jesus, that only name. That was my only plea. And it's right before God the Father, because we have just read it, dear friends, in the hymn. He pleads the cause of all of his people here below. And I know that he pleaded my cause. And dear friends, let us venture to the throne of grace. Oh, if that good work of grace be gone, dear friends, it will bring us to the throne of grace. It will. Oh, if the Lord will be pleased to reveal and manifest the solemn truth of our sins and iniquities to our consciences, dear friends, we shall need the throne of grace. And oh, to venture freely and to commit our all into his ever merciful hands. And yes, whatever thy case, and however thou mightst feel thy sins and iniquities, how black thou art. Yes, Jesus is thy only plea. All being well, if the Lord will, I have a word for the ordinance of the Lord's Supper. And it's been a word that has been so precious to me. Not just, dear friends, that the Lord saved and redeemed me, but ever since, dear friends, ever since the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin, however black, however vile, dear friends, however wicked, however evil. Oh, the scriptures are filled, dear friends, with those that found mercy. The 500 pence debtor, the woman taken in adultery, the woman of Samaria, Zacchaeus and Saul of Tarsus, dear friends, the vilest sinners out of hell, but brought to feel their need, are welcome to the throne of grace, his precious blood to plead. Let us draw near. I just want to mention this word faith. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. This full assurance of faith, dear friends, it's in that real conviction in the soul of a precious Christ, that only one, that can do anything for us, that only one that can meet our needs, and that one that is able to do great things. I just think of another word in respect of that, because in respect of this faith, because that man that brought his dumb child to the Lord Jesus, he had a dumb spirit, and he came to Jesus and he told Jesus all about him, his son. But Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And dear friends, all things are possible. What a mercy it is to be blessed with that God-given faith, dear friends, that looks directly unto him and no other. And you know, it'll abound over all unbelief. Unbelief is a monster, dear friends. But the man cried. He said, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. Unbelief. It's from an evil heart of unbelief. As Paul writes to these Hebrew Christians in chapter 3, an evil heart of unbelief. And we know, dear friends, that evil only comes from one place, dear friends, from one source, and that's Satan himself. It was so in the beginning. He doesn't like to see the poor sinner at the feet of Jesus and at the throne of grace. But, dear friends, he can't do anything to prevent, can he? Because of this wonderful truth. It is this mercy. All things are possible to him that believeth, hath faith in the Lord Jesus. This is the wonderful truth of these words here. In full assurance of faith. Dear friends, may we know what it is. In full assurance of faith of him that is able to do great things for us. And nothing is impossible with him. And it's faith in his person, faith in his merits, faith in all that he came to do for guilty sinners. Faith, dear friends, in his cross. Faith, dear friends, in that suffering, dying man upon the cross at Calvary. Faith in his finished work. Faith in his death, dear friends, because he took with him all the sins and the iniquities of his people, never to be remembered against them anymore forever. Faith in him, this man who came to seek out and to save lost sinners, is the wonderful truth. And all these lost sinners can venture to the throne of grace in that faith upon and towards him. What a mercy it is to be a seeking soul and to find this wonderful forgiveness of sins through the Lord Jesus Christ. I was just thinking, Paul speaking, to the church at Ephesus in Acts chapter 20, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And this faith, we venture to the throne of grace. Venture the whole stress of our salvation upon the Lord Jesus Christ is the mercy. Dear friends, seeking, you know, the prayers of Cornelius were heard, a memorial before God the Father, and the Lord sent his minister to him and preached the gospel to him, saved him and all his house, dear friends. Yes, he heard his prayers and petitions. Continue at the throne of grace. There's mercy to be found. Mercy through the cross of Jesus. Perhaps that publican. Perhaps it was his first visit to the throne of grace. How come he can venture and plead before God? He was pleading for mercy. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Is he able to approach a holy and a righteous God? It's Jesus that made a way, dear friends, a new and a living way into the holiest of all. And that man ventured because of his great need. The work of grace was in his soul. The testimony of his sins, dear friends, were upon his conscience. And they troubled him and burdened him. And he came. And it was that word, dear friends, with all the burden of his sin, Jesus said, and this is the claim that we can have, come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And that man came and found that rest. And what was his plea? God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Where is God's mercy, dear friends? It's in Jesus. That's where God's mercy is. That's where God's mercy to all of us is found. It's in Jesus, and Jesus only. And that is where God is pleased to show his mercy to his people. God, be merciful to me, a sinner, is the wonderful truth then. And so, to venture to the throne of grace, let us draw near with a true heart. And dear friends, once we find mercy, you know, the publican, we do not know whether it was his first appearance, but dear friends, I believe he made many more afterwards. I believe the throne of grace was a well-worn path, dear friends. And who is it that walks in those well-worn paths, dear friends? It's the vilest sinners upon the face of the earth. Their need of Jesus, their need of the merits of his person, need day by day the cleansing, healing of that sin-atoning blood that he shed for sinners. That healing balm. And you know what the healing is, don't you? It's the pardon and the forgiveness. That's the healing. That is the healing known and felt. All guilt removed, dear friends. Set free through Jesus. Forgiven is the mercy. Let us draw near. Well, dear friends, we shall be living at the throne of grace all our days, dear friends, all our needs, all our concerns. What was it with these Hebrew Christians? They were persecuted. They were tried in respect of their faith in the Lord Jesus. They were those, dear friends, they were all almost ready to apostatize, to give up. Such was the conflict and the warfare that they were in. But Paul is reminding them, let us draw near. Oh, have they forgotten the throne of grace? In all our troubles, in all our trials, here below, in all our concerns, in all our needs, what is it with you today? What are your needs? What are your concerns? Have we forgotten the throne of grace, dear friends? It is Jesus. He's the only one that can do anything for us, dear friends. And he's the only one that could appear for these Hebrew Christians. Is the only ones that to keep them and maintain them and protect them. You see, we will come to the throne of grace and we will be living at the throne of grace. You see, the throne of grace is for living souls, needy souls, poor souls, souls that will be brought to wait upon him, wait upon his pleasure, you see. Oh, what a mercy it is to come and to cast all our care upon him, for he careth for us. Oh, we can come freely to the throne of grace. It is Jesus that has brought us into a new and a living way. Dear friends, let us know what it is to draw near It's a drawing near to Jesus, and it's by a living faith. That, you know, that Syrophoenician woman, oh, she was one, dear friends, that only a short prayer, but there was everything in that prayer for her poor soul, dear friends. Her case in respect of her daughter, it was a case, dear friends. It was really an afflictive path that she was walking out here below. She was one so tried, dear friends. And she came to the Lord Jesus. Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou Son of David. Pleading his name, thou Son of David, David's greater son, Jesus. And he didn't answer a word. He was going to test her faith, you see. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. When she heard that, dear friend, she came nearer. She came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. What a prayer that has been for the Lord's dear people, the Lord's servants. They stand forth in his name. The Lord's people, as they sit in the pews of his house, to give an hearing ear, an understanding heart, that our hearts may be made receptive to his word, to receive it in faith and love, you see, and that there might be a word in season for our poor souls at the throne of grace. Perhaps it has been the prayer of some this morning. Lord, help me. What is your case? What is your need? You see, Lord, help me. Well, the Lord knows what it is. Have you told him? Have you told him? The throne of grace. Let us draw near. You see. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then she came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. She said, truth, Lord. She acknowledges what she is. Truth, Lord. Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then it was her faith that shone so brightly upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, she wasn't going to be removed from his feet, dear friends. Her case was so needful. Such was her need. And Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. That was how strong her faith was. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. That was her faith in Jesus. Dear friends, this is the wonderful truth here. Let us draw near with a true heart, a sincere heart, dear friends. And it is the Lord that will give that true and sincere heart. Is it the heart, dear friend, that has made us sensible of our need of him? He said, I will put within you a new spirit and write within you a new heart. It will remove the heart of stone and put within a heart of flesh. And it's a true and a sincere heart. And unto this man will I look, even to him that is of a poor and a contrite spirit. Trembleth at my word, that contrite heart, you see. And it isn't that heart of our old nature, dear friends. This is that new heart, dear friends, that soul within. That renewing of grace, dear friends, that new man. And this is the wonderful truth. It goes out after Jesus. You see, it seeks him. It needs him. And it needs him all the time. This is it. This new heart. Let us draw near with a true heart, in true sincerity, and in full assurance of faith. See Anna at the throne of grace. Yes, she was barren. Her case was needy. And her husband, yes, he'd taken another wife, Peninnah. And she had sons and daughters through him. How long or years may we be able to consider? She remained at the throne of grace. And yes, Peninnah provoked her sorely. Oh, it was a time of temptation, dear friends. But she stayed at the throne of grace. Such was her faith. Such was her trust in her Lord. She knew that he was able to do great things. She knew that he was able to do it. What was her truth? What was the confirmation of her faith? I just go to it and read it because it's a wonderful word, dear friends. If I can just find it. It's a wonderful word. She said to Eli, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here, praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. And he worshipped the Lord there. But oh, this truth, he hath given me my petition which I asked of him. Oh, how long she had been asking. Faith, dear friends, waiting upon the Lord. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. Always waiting upon the Lord. And whatever our needs are at this time, let us venture to the Lord. Venture in faith. Venture upon him. You see, it may be something in respect of our workplace. It may be something in respect of our business. It may be something in respect of our education and so forth. But whatever it is, dear friends, come to the throne of grace. And really we're taught, even from our very young years, to call upon the name of Jesus. And it is good, dear friends. I believe that was the words given to Timothy. It was one, dear friends, raised up in family to know the Lord. And I believe to know the throne of grace. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. Draw near to him in respect of all our needs, all our concerns here below. And let us know what it is, dear friends, to come to him that is able to do great things for his people. We live at the throne of grace, and as we get older and we seem that we may be drawing near, dear friends, to that eternal rest that awaits for the Lord's dear people. But we're journeying forth each and every day. And we do not know, dear friends, when the Lord will be pleased to take us or remove us from this earthly scene. We do not know that. But let us draw near in full assurance of faith, You know, many of the Lord's dear people have been taken in a moment of time. And I do believe, dear friends, that the Lord gave that further assurance of the faith of John the Baptist as he was in the jail. He sent his two servants to Jesus. Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? He was in such despair, dear friends. His usefulness had been taken from him. He loved, dear friends, to be the harbinger of the Lord and point the way to salvation through him. And now, dear friends, in jail. And yet, dear friends, the comfort that they went back with, that he was one that was able to heal the sick, and he was able to raise the dead, and he was able to preach the gospel to the poor. They went back and reported it. Oh, and dear friends, I believe that was to the comfort of his poor soul. But it settled him, dear friends, for what was to come. You see, it settled his poor mind. And yes, he went forth, dear friends, in that full assurance of faith, faith in the Lord. And that is what we want, dear friends. Let us know what it is to be praying continually each and every day. The Lord is pleased to preserve us each day, but only to that day that he will take us to him. And let us be seeking the Lord in respect of that day, waiting upon him at the throne of grace, asking him to prepare our hearts for himself. We need to ask that each and every day. You see, we mustn't necessarily think that we're going to grow to be old. It isn't so. But let us wait upon him, wait upon his appearing. You see, he is coming again. Are we waiting upon him? Jesus says, praying always. You see, pray, watch, and be sober against that day. Oh, let us know what it is to come to the throne of grace and to wait the Lord Jesus. He is coming again. Let us be waiting for him. And then we come to the throne of grace, because this is a daily prayer with me, and I believe it will be with you also, that the Lord will be pleased to keep us and preserve us unto himself day by day, because we cannot keep ourselves. You would have learnt that we cannot keep ourselves. There's nothing in us to do it. We still have bad hearts. We still have the deceitful heart. And dear friends, what is it? What can we do? You see, oh, it's that plea that the Lord will keep us and preserve us and deliver us from all evil is the truth, and preserve us to himself. Oh, and then there are many things that we come to the throne of grace for. We must never forget to thank the Lord day by day for all his mercies, for all his goodness, for all his care, his keeping and his watchfulness over us. Shall have to start to draw to a close. Let us draw near. Everything that concerns all our praises, all our thanksgiving. Praise him, dear friends. I thank him every morning for bringing me to another day. But I ask him to keep me during that day, to watch over me, to undertake my cause and interest, because I'm so poor, so helpless in and of myself. Wait upon him. I need him day by day to come to my help and my need. I ask him to keep my heart and my mind, dear friends. David knew what it was to come to him a poor penitent in Psalm 51. David had transgressed against the Lord. But it was a true prayer of penitence, Psalm 51. It was a broken up man, dear friends. But how needful it was to come to the throne of grace, to confess all his sins, his transgressions, against thee and thee only. Have I done this evil in thy sight? How many times do we come, dear friends, confess the same against thee and thee only? Have I done this evil in thy sight? Our poor minds, dear friends, we cannot keep them. Let us draw near. Let us thank him, praise him, bless him. And for everything, ask him to lead us and to direct us all our journey through. Ask him to come to our case and need. Ask him, dear friends, for the things that concern you now and at present. What are those concerns? I know a good many have come to me and how that they've asked for their partners in life. And the Lord has given them. Let us draw near, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, delivered, dear friends, from every vanity, from every lust, dear friends. Oh, let us flee. Let us ask the Lord to work in us his will and his power, to keep our hearts and minds free from all sin and evil, and our bodies washed with pure water, people sanctified and set apart for a holy use, to walk before him uprightly, to serve him, that our conversation might be through the gospel of Jesus, that our conduct in our lives may be that that appropriates a newborn soul, you see, a regenerated soul, and to walk uprightly and to serve him and to honour him in all his word, his truth. Oh, may the Lord help us. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, our bodies washed with pure water. Amen.
Collections last Lord's Day were £747.11. And on Monday, the collections for the Bethesda Short Stay Fund, £1,340.66, for both of which we are very thankful. God willing, Mr. Ince will administer the Lord's Supper after this evening's service. And tomorrow evening there will be a prayer meeting, and would the praying members please come prepared to give out a hymn. And God willing, Mr. Timothy Barker will preach on Tuesday evening, as Mr. Robert Field is unwell as he has lost his voice. And Mr. Jabez Rupp will preach next Lord's Day. Let us close with hymn 640. Blessed Jesus, Lord of all, teach us on thy name to call. Help us to be much in prayer, and upon thee cast our care. Hymn 640.
thy grace, Lord Jesus, the love of God the Father, fellowship and communion of God the Holy Spirit, rest and abide upon each one of us, now and for ever. Amen.